State versus Yumru.
May it please the court, my name is Eric Nielsen on behalf of Mr. Yumru, and I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal if I may. First off, the state correctly concedes that the separate assault and the separate robbery in this case violate double jeopardy. The remaining issue is whether the robbery and the theft of the car do as well. Because the legislature has not expressed that the two offenses are separate, we have to turn to statutory construction to divine what the legislature did intend. And under those tests, we believe the convictions for both the robbery and the vehicle theft do violate double jeopardy. The starting point that we use is the same evidence test. Under that test, it's a case-by-case analysis. You look at what the crime was, how the crime was charged and proven, and then you determine from that whether you can divine that the legislature intended.
So why don't you give us your analysis? You're talking about Blockberger. Give us your Blockberger analysis.
Well, I think the Blockberger analysis is stated very well in Cali and Jackman, where they say that the
apply it to this case.
That the facts of this case, if the facts of this case prove one crime and it also is sufficient to prove the other crime, then double jeopardy is violated. Here are the facts.
Is this your proposition to establish an essential element of an offense charged in this prosecution will prove conduct that constitutes an offense for which the defendant has also been prosecuted? Is
yes.
That what you're saying?
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
Yes.
That's the holding in Grady. Grady was overruled in Dixon, and Gawkin says that there's no independent state analysis of this issue, and specifically says that Grady is not the law in Washington.
Well,
so if in that second part of Orange, when the court is talking about not analyzing at a high level, not just focusing on the statutory elements, but doing, if the court isn't overruling Gawkin, in other words, if the court isn't applying Grady, and without telling us, overruling Gawkin, what is it doing?
Well, I think what the court is doing is it's going back to the double jeopardy analysis that it's used since 1896. I mean, if every one of these cases, you look at Francis, you look at Orange, you look at Cali, you look at Freeman, Hughes, every one of the double jeopardy cases that's been analyzed by our state Supreme Court, they've always gone back to Reif. And in that case,
I'm right that Gawkin says that Grady is not the law in Washington, and if I'm right that Dixon overruled Grady, and if I'm right that it's the same test under the federal and state constitutions, then it must be that Orange overruled Gawkin?
Well, I don't know if Orange overruled Gawkin or not, because Orange doesn't really discuss whether it's overruled Gawkin or not.
Well,
but
it
Orange
surely does. It cites to Gawkin and doesn't say it's overruled.
Well, and it also cites to Reif. And it as do all the other cases. And what Reif says is what Orange says is what every other case
says.
But
Reif wouldn't be a separate state argument.
No,
nope. There is no separate state argument.
No,
right.
Reif, but when the Washington State Supreme Court has decided when we're going to adopt what we call the same evidence test, this is what the test is. We already know what that test
can
is.
It,
they've told
if,
us
if
what
it's
that
the
test
same
is.
If it's the same test, does it? Can it be different from the federal courts?
Well, I don't know.
State ground.
Well, it depends, I guess, on how you would interpret it. And the way our courts interpret it is that if the same facts can be used to prove one crime, and those facts are also sufficient to prove the other crime, then those two crimes cannot be two crimes or separate crimes for the purposes of double jeopardy. That is how our court interprets it. That's what we call the same evidence test. There's no other way of looking at it.
Sometimes referred to as the same elements
test. Not the same elements
test.
Very
confusing.
It is very confusing. And I'm not saying
the same conduct test.
I would be the first one to stand here and admit that the whole double jeopardy issue with respect to this whole statutory construction argument is anything but a model of clarity.
We invited you two down so we could beat this around with you.
Originally,
we weren't anticipating having you, but we thought the morning couldn't possibly complete.
Well, yes, and I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. I would be the first to admit that it is not a model of clarity. And I think the courts even itself has admitted that at one point or another. So I can't remember if it was in Cali or Orange.
You probably didn't even think about about Grady when you came down here.
I actually thought about all these cases.
I readily admit that the cases that you talked about after Orange say exactly what you say that they say. What I'm trying to do is search for coherence. So, are we in a position where we are in fact applying the same conduct test, which is what Grady was two parts: Blockbuster. Yeah. Blockbuster, VHS store. I know. I was doing this yesterday too. I just can't adjust to the whole DVR world. Blockburger plus same conduct.
Yeah.
That was Grady.
Right.
Orange seems to be same elements, Blockburger, and same conduct. It seems to go back to Grady.
Well, I don't.
Without admitting that they're doing it.
See, I don't think it really does.
Unless conduct means something other than that.
Right. Exactly.
How to not accuse them of doing something that they don't want to admit they did and resolve this case. That's why we're.
I think you're right, Judge Becker. I think what they mean is conduct is something different than that. I mean, the conduct, if you look at the conduct as the transaction itself, that is different than, I think, what they're talking about in Cali and what they're talking about in Francis.
What's the fact that we focus on here to decide the case in your favor?
Theft is the fact that we focused on here. Theft.
How do you know that theft is a fact rather than conduct?
Well, because...
In Orange, at least you've got a single shot. Because, bam! It's easy to think of that as a fact.
Well, but here, to prove the robbery, you had to prove the theft of the car.
Meaning
you had to prove that, in fact...
The fact of driving the car away,
or... No, in fact, that I stole the car. If Ms. Yamaru did not steal the car, there would have been no robbery. There may have been an assault. There may have been an attempted robbery. There would have been no robbery. That crime, by proving the robbery as charged and as proven in this case, that necessarily proved the theft of the car, and vice versa. Without the theft of the car, there would have been no robbery. Without the proving the theft and the robbery, there would have been no theft of the car.
Before you sit down, I'll give you a question to think about during your rebuttal time, and that would be slipped right over the legislative intent, express legislative intent thing, which comes before Blockburger. but what about that huge statement of legislative intent about how theft of a car is different from other thefts? So don't talk now. Sit down and think about it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. McCurdy. Always a pleasure.
Good morning, Your Honor.
We're talking now. Why don't you talk about what Judge Becker was just asking so we don't miss it?
The statement of intent? I don't think in this case it would actually be under step one of the Cali test, because that statement of intent, while it is lengthy and talks about how serious it is, it doesn't expressly say whether these should be punished separately or punished together. I think what it goes to goes to the third step of the double jeopardy test after the same elements and Blockburger test. You could look at that as legislative intent, but I look at the first step as being conclusive on the plain language.
So you say that it doesn't show that there's an intent to have multiple punishments. From your briefing, is your argument that it shows an intent to treat theft of a motor vehicle different from other thefts?
I think when I say it doesn't show the intent, I look at the first step as what you're looking for is express language, like the anti-murder.
Well, that's the classic thing. But you know, Cali was a first step case because incest and rape, or whatever the crimes were in different sections, and there wasn't any express direction like there is in the burglary anti-merger statute. And there's language in Freeman discussing those two examples and saying that, you know, remember, the whole thing that we're doing here is trying to figure out what the legislature wanted, and why is it then not permissible to say, well, you know, if what we're looking for, according to counsel, is a fact, you know, equivalent to the single shot.
Right.
In Orange, and here we've got a theft, which is a single shot, but why not look at that legislative intent preamble and say, you know, actually, we don't just have a simple theft. We have a theft of a motor vehicle.
Right. You know, I should be agreeing with you.
Yes, you should.
But I can't. and partly because I was also the attorney on Freeman in front of the Supreme Court, and I know Freeman made a comment about Cali being based on legislative intent. If you actually go back and read Cali, it was not. Cali went through the same evidence test, and it failed the same evidence test, and they said, you know, that ends the inquiry right there. But even if it didn't end the inquiry,
elements only same evidence test? Because it was just one act of
intercourse.
In Cali,
it was a single act of intercourse, violated two statutes, the incest statute and the rape statute. So one single act. But each one had an element that had to be required.
That's the abstract level of comparing the elements.
Well, the only way you get to this kind of non-abstract element is you look at Orange. Orange did not change the test. If you look at it, it quotes the test word for word. It quotes the same evidence or Blockberger test. What it says is Orange, you have an attempt crime. So it called the, quote, substantial step. They called it a generic element that doesn't really fit into the Blockberger test. So somehow you have to fit it in. They said you've got to look at the specific facts. But that in reality, first of all, it didn't change the test. The second thing is that's always the case, really, in double jeopardy cases because there's always two aspects. It's how is the defendant charged and convicted? Well, that depends on how he's charged, and it depends on the facts of the case.
So how is Mr. Nielsen wrong that, notwithstanding whether this is really applying the Grady test or not, that by stealing a car, that was the fact or the conduct that supports both the robbery one and the theft of a motor vehicle charge, and therefore is barred?
Well, I would answer that in two ways. First of all, the same facts that may prove two crimes, to accomplish double jeopardy, simply to get your foot in the door, you have to have that. Otherwise, you don't get in the foot in the door. But that doesn't answer the question. That's the same conduct test that was rejected by our Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court. The second part of that is, while the same facts may prove it both, you also needed additional facts for each crime. And that's clear, even the Ralph case, that's like the one thing the Ralph case got correct. For TMV, you have to prove, or for theft of a car, excuse me, you had to prove it was a motor vehicle. You don't have to prove that for the robbery. For the robbery, you had
isn't
to prove...
Isn't that just a restatement of the same elements test, or is that entirely the point, that it's a restatement of the same elements test just filled in with facts?
We've never gone away from the same elements test. That's not been overruled.
Well, would you recite the same elements test to us sitting right here without checking your notes? Or
well, I can say
what is it?
I can say that each crime has to have a fact that is required to be proved that doesn't need to be proved for the other crime. And that's what we have. We don't have to prove that the property stolen for robbery is an automobile. But you have to prove that for theft of a motor vehicle. Otherwise, you can't get a conviction. We don't have to prove that the taking was from the person or the president.
Is that the difference between facts and conduct? The conduct is stealing the automobile, but the fact is whether or not what was stolen was an automobile?
I'm sorry. I'm
trying to figure out how to... I want to take you at your word on this in terms of your explanation, but I'm trying to understand it.
Sure.
I'm assuming that there is something that's different about a fact and conduct. Since we've said same conduct isn't the answer, but we talk about facts. So is it, when you are arguing against Mr. Nielsen's position, are you impliedly accusing him of applying the same conduct test by focusing on the conduct of stealing the motor vehicle, whereas you're saying the fact that's important is that what was stolen was a motor vehicle, not and all robbery required was that something be stolen?
Well, I think
I'm
following.
That was a horrible question, but you got 3.5 minutes.
I followed it.
Okay.
Let me see if I can be more specific. The fact, it is a fact that it was an automobile. It's a fact that that automobile was stolen. That fact is required, it's required that you prove that to prove theft of an automobile. So it's an element of that crime, and it's a fact that we have to prove. So you have, you always have to look at both. Because let's, for example, you know, cure and,
so
and
how was that fact not used to prove the robbery, or was it?
It is, but it's not required. So again, it's the same fact. I mean, all of these cases.
What, when you say it's not required, what wasn't required?
To prove that it's an automobile. That's, we don't have to prove that. To prove a robbery, all you've got to do is property was taken. It can be any property. Doesn't have to be an automobile. The fact that it is irrelevant to the double jeopardy task.
Could it be just pertinent to Judge Dwyer's inquiry that theft is less of a fact than a shot out of a gun? I mean, in other words, a gunshot is a fact. It has it exists quite apart from any legal significance, whereas theft is not a fact. It requires the application of a set of criminal elements defined by statute. I mean, in other words, it's more like a course of conduct, if you will. It's more abstract. I mean, in other words, an automobile is a fact. A gunshot is a fact. But to take something that belongs to somebody else,
well,
it's a little bit higher up on the abstraction scale.
I certainly don't think you can simply just use the generic term theft, because otherwise, wouldn't you be saying that any, I guess I'll label it a property crime, that is in conjunction with a robbery, whether it's, you know, PSP, whether it's TMV, whether it's theft or fraud, forgery, I don't know, anything else that you could include in that. Under, I think, defense counsel's theory, every single one of those charges would be double jeopardy because it's just, quote, a theft. But there's more to it than that. There's elements of the crime. You have to look at your elements of the crime. Orange, none of those cases say you ignore the elements of the crime. If they did, they'd be overruling their own cases, and they haven't done that. And they would be in conflict with the U.S. Supreme Court. So we'd have a different double jeopardy test in Washington than we do in the federal courts, which no court case has ever said that. And, in fact, Cali said, nope, we're identical. We have the same test in the feds. We have the same test down here. It's the same evidence test. You must look at the elements.
So your position, is this fair to say that even if it wasn't a theft of a motor vehicle, okay, even if it was just he stole a wallet, okay, or he stole something out of the car, stole a stereo and ran off with it, no double jeopardy. You could still prosecute him for theft.
No, because in that case, the theft charge does not have something that we have to prove that is separate from the robbery.
Because there's no specific item involved.
There's no specific item. You could have different elements to whatever kind of theft you want. Like maybe you could have a different element in terms of how the theft is committed, for example. In this case, it just happens to be the specificity of the item. But if you did not have that specificity, if you just had a straight theft,
so that's the important thing to you about this case, is the fact that it's a theft of a motor vehicle defined as such. And the same thing would be true if the legislature had created a separate crime called theft of a wallet or theft of a stereo. We'd be in exactly the same situation. But when you're just prosecuting simple theft without any specification in the statute of what the item has to be, then you do have double jeopardy. I mean, then you can't convict for both crimes.
I believe that's, well, without looking at the plain theft statute right in front of me, I would say what I'm relying on here is the fact that the specific property we have to prove was stolen is a motor vehicle.
All right.
Thank you, Your
Honor. Thank you very much. You have 3 minutes left. Am I correct?
Yes, thank you. Well, to get back to Judge Becker's question, I agree with the state as well that the fact that I don't think the legislature expressly intended by passing the theft of a motor vehicle statute to make that a separate crime from, necessarily a separate crime from the robbery
convictions. But did they intend for theft of a motor vehicle to be treated differently from those thefts that are only defined by the value of the item taken?
Yeah, I think that's clear. That's the whole purpose of the statute.
Yeah.
And different than the taking a motor vehicle without permission statute as well.
So is Mr. McCurdy's invitation that we focus on the motor vehicle aspect of theft of a motor vehicle, is that consistent with the legislature's intent that the statutes be treated differently, or is he missing something and urging us to?
Well, I think that doesn't tell us that the legislature wanted it to be treated separately from a robbery. I think what we have to do is we have to go back and look at the cases that the Washington State Supreme Court has looked at, and the way that it has analyzed these situations, and the way it analyzes it, we talk about conduct, and then we talk about facts. Okay, well, the conduct here, we know what the conduct was. You know, Mr. Yamru gets into the car. He's got a sword. He says, you know, I'm going to take your car. Okay, the other guy gets out. Mr. Nordstrom gets out, and he drives away with the car. That was the conduct. The question
kind
then
like
becomes
transaction. It's like, well, it's all happened at the same time,
right?
So the
facts. I think when the court in Cali and those line of cases are referring to the facts, what they're referring to is that you have to prove an element of one charge, and if you prove that element, does that necessarily prove the other offense? And under this scenario, under the facts in this case, that is what is true. If there was no theft of the car, there would be no robbery, and vice versa. If there was no robbery, there would be no theft of the car. You can't separate the two out. There's no logical, common sense way of doing that. Now, you know, Mr. McCurdy is talking about, well, there's this extra element you have to prove. It's a car, as opposed to any other kind of theft. Well, I think, you know, in Hughes and in Jackman, the court has said, look, we don't take these elements in the abstract. We don't just look at them and say, oh, well, there's a separate element, so therefore we don't meet the same evidence test. In fact, in those cases, well, I think it's Hughes, the court says, even though the elements may be facially different, that does not end the analysis. That's not where the analysis begins, and it's not where the analysis ends. What we have to look at is what does the state have to prove? And in this case, even unlike Ralph, in this case, they charged Mr. Yamru with actually taking Mr. Norson's car. That was the charge in the robbery charge. It says taking the personal property of Mr. Nordstrom, to wit, his car, which is the same exact crime as theft of the car. So based on, I think, the analysis that the Supreme Court has held in those line of cases that we cited, that these two convictions do violate double jeopardy and the theft of the car should be vacated.
What is the key case you think that you know, starts the analysis? I mean, what case is this most like?
Most like our case? Ralph. I don't mean to be flippant. But
okay, but other than Ralph,
okay.
Jackman, is that a...
Yeah, Jackman. I think Jackman is a good place to start.
Okay.
And then looking at Orange as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.